Good evening. I'd like to apologize, y'all. I am not my best self. I have an abscessed tooth on the right side. I know my face is always chubby, but it should be more chubby right now. And I'm hurting a little bit. But I have something wonderful, I believe, for us. For my normal peoples, I want you to know that the next several Sunday nights, we're going to start talking about our vision from a different perspective, and I hope to offer something to you tonight about that. But I want to do it uniquely tonight in a devotional, pretty neat style for about 5 or 10 minutes. We're going to go through three verses, three different pericopes of Scripture, and then I'm going to offer some beginning thoughts about the future and vision. And I want to start in Numbers 21 for you to get the understanding of how important what we're going to read here in just a moment is. We need to start at the beginning of this story. In Numbers 21, starting in verse 4. Now they traveled from Mount Hor along the route of the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and says, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Now we're going to go to John chapter 3, but I want to talk about that just for a moment. I don't know if you have ever seen Ernest Saves Christmas. I know this may not be a movie that's real popular with the young folks, but Ernest Saves Christmas is one of my favorite Ernest movies of all time. And I don't know if you remember the movie theater scene when he's dressed up like a snake ranger, but he pulls up and he's got all these snakes in his back of his truck and he's jumping at me, a poisonous. And then he talks about his son dying and he puts more syllables in calef for me than most people do. But every time I read that episode of what took place and the Lord sent venomous snakes, I don't know how angry he was, but he had to be pretty angry. And what occurs there is a very unique moment where Moses goes to God and God teaches him what to do to save the people. And there are so many lessons you can preach about this pole. I mean, and you may have heard me talk about this before. I heard Philip Hines preach a lesson one time about, I'm not going down there to look at that snake. There's hypocrites down there around that pole. And so people wouldn't go look at the snake because there was hypocrites, because that's sometimes what we use. If you turn to John chapter 3, that goes back and reflects right before the hub, the most important passage in the New Testament, John 3:16, verses 14 and 15. We have mention of this episode that occurs there in Numbers 21. Verse 14, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And then John 3:16, as you all well know. So here again, we have this mentioning of this episode that takes place in Numbers 21, and it's about this snake. And here it is a reference where those people, if they were bitten by a venomous snake, looked to the pole and they were healed. So is the Son of Man lifted up for humanity. And all we have to do is go to the pole. And you can understand the importance of both of these moments. One obviously is more important than the other, but you see this moment in the history of the Israelite nation and in the history of God's story is a very important time for us. So now I want us to turn to 2 Kings 18, and this is where we're going to start working in the idea of developing vision. And I saw Haley while I go out. When I looked up, when I walked out, she screams at me. Well, she didn't scream. That's not true. "Ben, what's three?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know. One, two, three." "No, you said you had three rules. You only told you two." So I'm going to go back and reflect on that in just a second, and then, like I said, I'll give you the devotional and the lesson be yours. This will be the last passage that we look at. In the history of the kings of Israel, I don't know if you've ever studied them, but they were not good. I mean, there are very, very, very few bright moments in the kingship of Israel. When we come to chapter 18 of 2 Kings, and I'm going to do my best not to butcher these words here. The Bible reads this way in verse 1 and following. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother, Abijah, daughter of Zechariah, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asheroth poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. So all of a sudden we have this 25-year-old king come in, and he does right in the eyes of the Lord. And the first thing he had to do as a king is he had to do some house cleaning. We all understand that sometimes house cleaning needs to take place. And so he begins to tear down a bunch of the idols that they have built up around, and different altars and temples that they built to different gods. And we can all understand that. We can understand that that had to go. That had to go. I mean, this is not what God wanted for his people. Idolatry has haunted the Lord's people from the beginning of his relationship with humanity. We love idols. Even today, it's a different type of idol today, but we still love our idols. We may not have graven images, but we do bow down to things that we should not give our moment to. For some reason, we've always been pulled away from God by these. We can understand that he did that, and it is good, but then Hezekiah gets a little crazy. He gets a little crazy. And I cannot imagine what this looked like in the nation of Israel. He went and got the bronze serpent that they had kept all those years, that Moses had built in the desert, and he smashed it to pieces. I want you to think about this in 2019. I don't know that we have a sacred bronze serpent here at the church building. Maybe it would be our chandeliers. But let us say you hired some new preacher, and he comes in here one Sunday morning. First thing he does, gets his Husqvarna chainsaw, shimmies up there, and cuts her down in front of everybody. And then makes sure every piece of glass is smashed in both chandeliers. Do you think the congregation would just get up and applaud immediately? Woo! Yes! That's it! You did it! Yes! Now imagine how sacred this bronze serpent was to the nation of Israel. Even after he smashes it, we get into the most important scripture in the New Testament, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And it is brought to by the story of that bronze serpent. But God was pleased. And what Hezekiah did in the eyes of the Lord was right. Because sometimes we get distracted. J.A. Thornton, a famous Northeast Mississippi preacher, used to always say, the main thing is to always keep the main thing the main thing. It's one of those silly statements, but you understand. And if that bronze serpent had started taking away from glory and praise of God, it was time for it to be smashed in front of the people. It was not an easy moment in their history, but it had to be done. And listen to the rest of these verses about what God says about Hezekiah. Let's pick up in verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among the kings of Judah. Either before him, that's David, or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commandments the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. There was no king ever in the history of Judah like Hezekiah. Because sometimes difficult things need to be done. And I want to work now, and I want to talk about my three rules in youth ministry, because they're important when we get to this idea of a vision. I had three friends, well, I have two friends and one of my friend's wife who got a bunch of graduate degrees in education. I always made fun of them because everybody was getting graduate degrees. I thought that must be the hardest degree of all time. I made joked with them or whatever. But one of the, two of my nine friends were in the education graduate program, and they took classroom management. Now, if you put me in junior high, I will choke a kid. I could do high school and maybe fifth or sixth, but seventh and eighth graders are crazy. And I can't handle that, right? Can't handle that. But one of the things that I got out of their lesson in that class was you need simple rules, and you need to post it, and you need to refer to them often. You don't need a lot. You need a few. They need to be simple. They need to be posted, and everybody needs to know what they were. So my first one is be respectful at all times. You can be angry and be respectful. You can be sad and be respectful. You can be coming in an emotional teardown. Be respectful. It's okay. We'll work it out. We'll move forward. But just be intentional about what you say. Of course, I talked about my second one this morning, no complaining. Now, I want you to know we were in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, doing a VBS, and I had a kid come, Bishop Ben, and I'm like, what is it? He said, I'm trying not to complain. I'm like, okay. He goes, the oven is on fire in the kitchen. I said, oh, my goodness, get out of my way, you know. That's not complaining. That's just being smart. If the place is burning, we got to go. But no complaining just means that you need to think about solutions, right? Don't always be the one who gripes. The easiest person to play is the person who points to all the problems. The difficult person to be is the one who finds the solutions. And the last one is be flexible. And I don't know if you've ever been on a family vacation and had a flat tire, but you're talking about wife and kids coming apart. You have something like that happen. Woo! Think about being on a bus with like 20 kids and it break down and you're 4 hours from home. You don't know anybody. You've got to get this fixed. Plus make sure that no one abducts one of your children in that process. They would lose it. And so I developed rule three, which was be flexible. Sometimes flat tires happen. And when I think about that, I want us to move into our idea of the vision of our future. And I want you to think about, they need to be simple. They need to be simple. They need to be posted. And we need to move forward. And when I first think about making our vision and working as a group or a vision, the first thing we have to do is evaluate. We have to evaluate where we are and where we want to go. And we'll never get where we're going if we don't know where we want to go. We've got God's direction for what he wants out of us as humanity. Three things I'll give you tonight, and I'll be done. These are real fast. The first one is we need to make sure we have a design. I used to be good at this, thinking about it, but I'm not. I haven't been good at it for a while. I haven't thought about it a whole long time. But the first thing is we need to have a design. The second thing is the most important for me. It needs to be straightforward. I applied for a job where they handed me sheets, 20 sheets of PowerPoints. There were 6 PowerPoints on each one that was the job description of the job that I was inquiring about. It took me about 30 seconds to realize, I don't know a human alive that could do this. I wasn't going to do all that. We need to be straightforward about what we want and how we're going to achieve it. It needs to be simple. And third, it needs to move people and grow people. The Lord has blessed us here, and I know you all see it. I had 11 texts this morning before I got out of Bible class. Now, 4 of them were Ben Gobble saying, we got donuts, we got donuts, we got donuts, we got donuts. Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much. I'm teaching class and would love a donut. Bring me one. But others were sending me messages, and people were talking to me about this morning's lesson. And one of the things that came out of that was people didn't recognize that half our congregation has been here 10 plus years, and half our congregation has not. But we are in a new place, and God has blessed us. I don't know a congregation in the brotherhood that has so many millennials. And I don't know what it is you've been doing all these years, these 150 years you've been a congregation, but we have a recipe here that is working for millennials. And we need to be able to figure out what we're doing so we can tell other people. because they're still flooding out the doors in mass. I love this place and I love who we are, and I believe our future is bright. I believe our future is bright no matter what really happens here, because we follow, we obey. And I want you to think about, before we meet next time, sometimes you got to take the bronze serpent. It's got to be broken before you can be right again. Okay, I want to offer the invitation now for anybody here who's not walking with the Lord. And all of those kings, we always have heard the statement, power corrupts and it corrupts completely. And it seemed to be true with the nation of Israel. But for us, this is not about power. This is about you living your life. I'm a firm believer that no one needs to come throw Bibles at you or hit you with some long list of evils and wrongs that you've done. Because I've been on the wrong side of the Lord, like everyone in this room. And I had to get in bed every night and put my head on that pillow and deal with who I was. And you're dealing with that right now if you're away from the Lord, and you know it. I'm not preaching at you. I'm not throwing at you, but do something about it. You'll never be happy as long as you're doing and living a life that you know is not right. So the first process will always be come to God and let Him transform you. Tonight, church, if we can do anything for you, please come now as we stand and sing.